I have couple points about church. I want reading text from Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Verse 15 to 18. He said unto them, but won't say yet they I am. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter had confession faith, you Christ, Son of God. Jesus, not only great man, great teacher, very smart teachers, he Son of God. Amen. He eternal God, Son of God. Amen. And Jesus say, I will build my church. I will build my church. Catholic church and Orthodox church, he say, Peter, it's a foundations church. Not correct. No Peter foundations. Foundations Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ have a cornerstone of his church. Peter says true confession faith. You Christ, Son of God. Christ founded his church on the earth. Church. When we say church, it's a Greek word, ecclesia, congregations, not church building, not a great temple, not invisible church, local congregations, people who coming together for worship to God, for fellowship, for listen to word of God, and for communion. Lord's Supper too.
Yeah.
At the foundations of the church is Christ. He is cornerstone. Church is a spiritual spiritual society, not regular. If we see for God's church in earth, sometimes it's small congregations, small groups. It's not really different from other groups. First time. If we see second time, this is very different groups. This is God's nations, God's people, God's children. It's people who God loved. It's a church of God. It's a people God loved this person. God loved from eternity this person. Jesus redeemed these people, died for them on the cross.
Amen.
Church of God, it's a redeemed people. It's Jesus save him.
Amen.
Yeah. Save him for himself, not for this world, not for us, not for other people. Jesus pay for our sin and redeeming us for himself.
Amen.
For his glory. Jesus called redeeming people from this world. Before God converted us, we live in between this world. We like sin, like this world. We like we will very worldly. But one day, one time, Jesus regenerated us, and He converted us. He called us from this world to Him, to His church, to His congregations. It's Church of God. It's a gathering of people who are born again, who baptized it's in a legal way. It's an authority. It's not baptized, not any person who baptized God ministers.
Amen.
Ministry of gospel. And who God people, God church, it's a people who come together for worship to God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Amen.
It's very important.
Okay.
Same Lord, one Lord. Same faith, same baptism.
Amen.
One faith, and true baptism. Church of God, it's people who call it by the power of God. Not human power, but He called it power of God.
Amen.
God's power.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 2, 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, personal people, they
you can help me. Yeah, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Yeah.
Amen.
We call it power of God.
Amen.
Call it before glorified to God. The Lord promised that the God give to us great promise. Gate of hell, it's a word not defeat. His church, God's church, He will preserve it.
Amen.
All time. We don't believe in reformations. Reformations, Christians, he believe church fall, and once 1,000 years no church.
Yeah.
Yeah, and 1517 got Reformation church. It's not true. Church of God, He don't need reformations. He have true. He keep truth,
right.
And He preaching truth.
Amen.
God church don't need reformation. What are the signs? Church of Christ. What signs?
Signs.
It's a point. Okay, Church of Christ. This. How we can know about Church of Christ? First, the foundations of this church in the teaching of Christ and the apostles. Ephesians chapter 2, 20-21. Ephesians chapter 2, 20-21. And are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus' cornerstone. Not Martin Luther, no John Calvin,
no
Huldrych Zwingli, no another great person, no John Gill.
Yeah.
Only Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Foundation of cornerstone,
Amen.
His church. The God church keeps the true from error. He saved true. God gives true to church. Church keep true from error.
Right.
Yeah, and preaching this true. 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15. Brother Jimmy yesterday spoke about these things. Yeah. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how the oldest, yeah, to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth.
Amen.
Church not created true. He keep true and
right.
Preaching true.
Amen.
Because all God authors true, not
Amen.
Church, no Pope, no Bishop, only Jesus Christ author is true. Matthew 28, chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Go ye, 19, 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptized then in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teach all things I have commanded you.
Amen.
It's a church of God. He keep all true, all commandments, Jesus. Not only salvations, not only about eschatology. He have true all commandments, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
About baptism, about method baptism, about Lord's Supper, feet washing, and all true.
Amen.
It's a great privilege to be part of the Church of Christ.
Amen.
It's Church of Christ. It's not denominations. Church of Christ. It's a природа. It's a Church of Christ. It's a New Testament Baptist church.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
This church of Christ. This church, it's a your church. It's body of Christ. Church
Amen.
Of Christ.
Amen.
It's a great privilege to be a part of the Church of Christ. Thank you. Sorry for my...
Oh, listen, you don't need to apologize anything, brother. Brother Leroy, glad to have Brother Leroy with us. He was with me a few weeks ago. And from Chicago, Illinois, I'm always telling people we're going to have a big Chicago preacher.
No, I'm not.
God be grace to Yankee, too.
After yesterday, when I was talking, it was such a blessed spirit yesterday that it's a humbling experience to come here. After God, just so it's almost like we was on holy ground yesterday. So you come here in fear and trembling, knowing the greatness of God and His church. I was going to preach on we love Him because He first loved us. Then after praying and considering the message of yesterday, I decided to preach on the church also. And because it seems to be, this is the 50th anniversary of the church, it'd be appropriate to preach on the church. And this morning I want to preach on who's head of the church, as we see in Ephesians, that the Lord Jesus is the head over all things to His church. And that is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Ephesians chapter 1. And it's a privilege, as Brother Sergey said, to be a member of the church of the assembly of God. I like the word assembly, congregation. It says in Ephesians 1:21, for above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, talking about Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And what a blessing that is as we think about that. He's the head over all things to the church. I pray this message is going to be encouragement to Brother Ray as the pastor of the church. I pray it'll be encouragement to you as members of the church and families of the church, that God is the one who saves his people. He's the one who's in charge of the church, not Brother Ray, not Brother Douglas, not Brother Rhodes or Jamie or Sergey. Jesus is the head of his church. There's only one head. And as you think about Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that authority was given to Jesus Christ to have authority over the church. He said in Matthew 28, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He is in charge of his congregation. He puts in his congregation who he wants to be there. As we look at a few things this morning, as we start, I want to think about in Colossians, all things were created by him and for him. Your existence as a human being is because he created you for a purpose, called according to his purpose. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, or all things were created by him and for him. He's our creator, first of all of us. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's before everything. Before there was anything, there was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He was there. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Who should have the praise in the church? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the favorite verses I enjoy, Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Everything is for the glory of God. Everything in this world is for the glory of God. Next thing we see about the Lord being the head over the church, he is the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. It says in Corinthians, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Think about that. They crucified and hung on the cross the Lord of glory. My brethren, James says, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Respect of person. The next thing we see about Jesus Christ, he's the head. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, as we read in the book of Revelation. It says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called chosen and faithful. Remember that. If we profess to be a follower of Jesus Christ, we were chosen, and we should be faithful.
Amen.
Should be faithful. Did they mention that verse, not forsaking, assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is? That is a commandment, not a suggestion. And when we forsake the house of God, we are being disobedient to the Lord, our master. Next thing we see, he's the Lord of his people. In Acts 2:36, Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Lord. A lot of people want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. They want the salvation of the Lord, but they don't want him to be Lord over their life. Some of those in the New Testament said, we shall not have this man reign over us. They didn't want him to tell them what to do. They didn't want him to be the Lord of their life. How about you and I? Are we willing to submit our lives unto the Lord of glory? King of kings, Lord of lords? And he said in one place in Luke, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the thing which I say? It's important that we obey the Lord. He's the Son of God, his brother Sergei brought out, mentioned. And straightway, Paul preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. And I believe he is the eternal Son of God from eternity.
Amen.
He didn't become the Son of God in time when he was born. He was the Son of God before he came into the world. Another thing we see, he's called the Almighty. Now these things I'm bringing out is to encourage you and to strengthen your faith. What's the hope of the church here? Olena. It's the Lord Jesus Christ is the hope of this church. Who does Brother Ray look to? Brother Douglas look to? Sergey look to? Brother Jimmy look to? Who do I look to in our churches? We look to Jesus Christ. He's the hope of the church. And I hope before I finish this morning, you can see why. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, Satan has power, but Jesus is the Almighty One. Almighty. He's God, manifested in the flesh as the God-man mediator over the congregations of the Lord. Getting back to Brother Sergei's text, Matthew 16:18. It was encouraging to me when Brother Sergei mentioned what he was going to speak on. I said, it gave me a little more confidence that the Lord was leading me to preach this message this morning, because I was concerned. I wanted to do the will of God in preaching. And then when he preached, I says, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he did very well. I enjoyed what he had to say. He said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I like the remarks that he brought out. God, the devil can never go against, destroy the Lord's church, congregation. Never. Another thing we should think about the church, it was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You've been bought with the price, Paul said in Corinthians. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your souls, which belong to God. Who do you belong to this morning? Not to yourself. You belong to God. God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's a precious truth, a precious truth. No person on earth is the head of the Lord's church except the Lord Jesus Christ. The meaning of headship, he is master, sovereign, Lord over his church. Lord is used 102 times in the book of Acts. All is under Christ. The created world, Matthew 20:18, all power is given unto him. So he's in control of the things in the church. I will say this also, that Jesus is subject to the Father. As God-man mediator, not as God, they're equal. You know, if you read the book of Romans and read verses 27 through 34, the Father is mentioned 20 times in just those few verses. 20 times. The one who works all things together for good to them that love God is who? The Father. The one who predestinated us to be sons of God. Who did predestinate us? It's the Father. The one who delivered up his Son. Who delivered him up? The Father. Don't think that just the Lord loves you. The Father loves you. Everything Jesus did and taught, he says, I came to do not my will, but the will of him that sent me. Right. Whose will? The Father's will. Amen. The one who says the eternal purposes of God are happening according to his divine purpose. Everything. Everything. So remember that Jesus is doing everything in his authority over the house of God. It's according to the will of his Father. So the Father loves us as much as the Son loves us. And we have to keep that focus on that. But it's a blessing when you realize how many times that's used in just a few verses. You see God the Father mentioned. Who chose you? The Father. Who predestined you to be sons of God? The Father. Who made you accepted in the beloved? The Father. Who called you out of darkness into the light? The Father. Hallelujah. What a great God we serve. And the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, none of us would be born again. None of us would have any joy of the Lord, believing through the Word and through the Holy Ghost. God, the Father, Son, and Spirit is involved in all our salvation and in the work of the church. As you think about the church, I want you to realize Jesus Christ is the life of the church. He said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There's no life in our lives as church members without being in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that began in eternity. We were one in the Lord. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. I am crucified with Christ, Paul says. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's testimony that Christ was living in him. You and I, if we are living spiritually, we can say it's not I, but Christ living in me in this congregation to edify the body of Christ and to love one another, show Christ's love to each other, to encourage the Brother Ray as we meet and to give praises to God, as Brother Sergey mentioned, in worship and in singing and preaching and in the communion services. It's all for the glory of God. And it shows that we pass from death unto life when we do these things. I want to show a few things to show you the Lord's work in the ministry. You know, in the book of Acts, they had to choose someone to replace Judas Iscariot. And it says, and they prayed and said, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lots fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. You know, it says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. The Lord, who's the one who calls pastors to pastor his churches, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, as Brother Sergey mentioned in his message. He's the one who calls ministers to teach and preach in his churches. That's why you to respect the office of the minister and to respect him for the office he's called to complete and to finish by God's grace. So we see the Lord Jesus answering their prayers and praying for a replacement for Judas Iscariot. That's when the church first started. We see the Lord involved. He wasn't just sitting up heaven watching what's going on. He was involved in his church. In Acts chapter 2, we see Jesus building his church. You say, how can we grow here at Olenin? You grow by depending upon the Lord of glory and by obeying his commission to go. He didn't say sit down. He said go. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Who calls out of the congregation to be members of his congregation? He does. He does. We'll see that as we go through. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I read that twice to get it across to you. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know as surely that God has made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. The outward call and the eternal call is by the Lord. For many are called, but few are chosen. The gospel call, as we preach, goes to everyone. But there's an eternal call of God that reaches the heart. And that's why some believe and some believe not, as we're going to see. And they come forth God brings them forth. What? To be members of his church, his body, his congregation. It's the responsibility of everyone who makes a profession of faith, who claims to be a believer, to join a Lord's church, be baptized and join the church, the house of God, and be assembled together and have the Lord's Supper and communion, waiting for the second coming of Christ.
Amen.
And that's a privilege, as Brother Sergei said, and I say amen. It is a privilege and an honor. Now here's another thing we seem to forget sometimes. It says, the Lord added to his church daily such as were being saved. Who adds to the church? The preacher? No. Evangelists? No. Parents? No. It's the Lord who adds to his church. I think today that a lot of us don't believe the Lord's still in the business of adding to his church. We think we got to do it. No, the Lord does it. The Lord does it. And it's to encourage us. I want to encourage you this morning, encourage Brother Ray and myself and the other ministers here. The Lord is the one who adds to his church. Brother Chuck Peterson mentioned that him and Brother James Taylor, me, by God's grace, started work in New Mexico. And to encourage them, I want him to realize that the Lord is the head over that, and he can bless it and make it become a reality.
Yes.
Look to him. Look to the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can add to them, and they can form into an assembly of Jesus Christ on the profession of their faith. What a blessing that will be, beloved. What a blessing that will be. And the Lord gives saving faith to his people. Now again, it's not the preacher who gives saving faith. We're to preach the free grace of God. But it's Jesus is one who's in charge and saving his people and putting them in the house of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Who gives you the faith, the grace to believe? The Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus and faith from Jesus is mentioned in Acts 3:16. Now listen to the wording. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Now listen to this. The faith which is by him, Jesus, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Where did he get that faith? He got it from Christ. That faith that he got by Christ, by him. Christ gave him that faith. Paul said, I live, but Christ liveth in me. We live upon that faith Christ puts within us, and we trust and we see things done by that. So thank God, your faith, if you have true living faith, it comes from the Lord Jesus right. Through the Holy Spirit. It's not of yourselves. I'm going to give you, and the Lord gives repentance. It said, no one can repent of themselves. You hear preachers calling on people to repent. Oh, you have the ability to repent, repent, repent. Until you're born again by the Spirit of God, by Christ, you cannot do anything spiritually. You're dead in trespasses and sins. As Paul says, you were without hope and without God in the world. It takes God to change you and to give you a new heart and in that faith, which is of God's elect, to lay hold of that message when you hear it. It says that Jesus, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. In chapter 11, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. I tell you, I'm glad that's in the Bible because I'm a Gentile. I'm glad he granted repentance unto life to the Gentiles. Amen. We're all Gentiles here. I don't think there's any Jews here of the Jewish religion. But God is the one who grants us repentance unto life. It speaks in 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. We as pastors and ministers have to confront false teachers. And we pray as we present the truth to them that they can be turned from their wicked way. Only God can grant them repentance from error and to accept the truth. We can't do it. Sometimes we think we're so smart we can argue people into the truth. No. Only God can grant repentance unto the truth. There's a lot of people disagree with what we teach. They don't believe what we preach and teach. But beloved, God can grant them repentance. I want to give you two examples of God's power. The Apostle Paul was a persecutor of the Church of God. Brother Jimmy mentioned something. I hadn't quite thought about it that way. He said, how would you have felt if Apostle Paul had killed your mother when he was Saul and persecuting the Church of God? Then he comes into the assembly and you're sitting near him. You'd have a difficult time, and God didn't give you the grace to forgive Paul, the old Saul, for what he did. But that was something I hadn't really thought about that. But here we have Paul, who was Saul previously, and he fell to the earth after Christ appeared to him and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? When God speaks to you, you will be trembling. He brings you to see yourself as you really are, a hell-deserving sinner, needing the grace of God. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now we have another case, Lydia. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart, notice this, whose heart the Lord opened.
Yes.
Not the preacher, not the evangelist, the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. I just want to say something for a second. If you think about this, who's been busy all the time of the early church? Who was working in the church? The Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, was active in the early church. He was adding to the church. He was saving people. He was giving faith. He was giving repentance. He was calling. Jesus is the same Jesus today as he was then. He's still adding to the church. He's still calling people out of the world. He's still blessing his church. He's feeding his ministers that they can feed you, the flock of God. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep and feed my lamb. That is responsibility of God-called ministers, to feed the church of the living God. But beloved, the same Jesus is still living and active in the church today. He's not sitting back idle and saying, oh, I'm defeated, I'm defeated. No, he's not defeated. He'll never be defeated. His brother Sergei gave that verse. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the Lord's congregation. Never. Why? Because all power was given to Jesus, and he has control of the devil. He has control of the demons. He has control of America and Russia and China, all these nations of the world. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And one day they shall all fall. And he'll be exalted as King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord's working in Acts in closing. Just a few thoughts. It says in Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. When you believe and you receive the word of God, you have faith in Christ, what's the next thing a person should do? Be baptized. Now, this isn't a suggestion. It's a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And if there's anyone here in this congregation this morning who are believers and have not been baptized, you have been commanded by your Lord to be baptized and to join his congregation. That's an honor and a privilege, and it's also a command. It's not an option. Some people think that's an option. I do it if I want to, and I won't do it. If you don't do it, you're disobeying the Lord. It's that simple and that plain. But the thing about it, think of how much Christ loved you, shedding his blood, buying you, laying down his life, suffering for you, and all he asks us to do is follow me. If you love me, do you love the Lord? We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. But do you love him? Action. Speech is known by action, not by words only. If you love the Lord this morning and you're a believer, it's your responsibility to obey the Lord and be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to present yourself to a congregation to be members that you can live in a congregation church to worship God in spirit and truth and observe the Lord's Supper and wait for the coming of Christ and do those things until he comes and encourage the pastor of the church. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Boy, the Lord's working in me. 3,000 souls. And they were praising God. Sometimes I think we've lost that. How long has it been since you've praised the Lord? People can get excited at a football game. They can get excited at a baseball game. But they get in the house of God and you think they've died. You know, some of them can't even say amen. We're to praise God. We're to lift up our voices to God. And having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved that were or were being saved. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number in men were about 5,000. Boy, the Lord was busy when the church was constituted and when in his ministry and empowered by the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecostal, and they went forth to preach the gospel, the Lord was with them. And we see the effects of it. And can he do that today, or is he doing that today? Amen. Amen. It says, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. It speaks in Acts 11:24, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. I'm glad when I heard the good news of Jesus Christ as a Gentile. Amen. And glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. What comes after ordination? You believe. I believe every person who's been ordained of God will believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some people don't believe that, but I believe that. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And when I follow a stranger, are you following the Lord this morning? If you're not, I pray that this message get a hold to your heart and you can't sleep, you can't rest, you can't do anything until you say, Lord, I can't take it. I'm going to follow you. Amen. 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 And I believe the Lord works like that at times. He works through his word. He works through his word. In Acts 14:27, when they were come and had gathered the church, the assembly together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, what God had done with them. Notice this, how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Who's doing all this? The Lord of the church. Do you believe the Lord can save your children? So many people have special meetings trying to convert their children. They're afraid the Lord's going to miss some of them. Now, I believe the same gospel is good for the children as it's good for the adults. We don't have to have special groups and special come up here, sat on the front row. Listen, the Holy Ghost is not limited. Age makes no difference to the Holy Spirit. He can give life, and born again a young child, as easy as he can an adult. Beloved, are we trusting the Holy Spirit to save and give life to our children? Are we trying to do it? You know, some churches in the Chicago area, they got to have the pews a certain length. They got to have no children in the church because they're afraid someone's going to go to hell because they couldn't get down the pew, couldn't get down to the altar. They're depending on human wisdom, free will of man, instead of depending upon the Holy Ghost sent down by the Father to minister. He came on the day of Pentecost to empower the church. He's our comforter. Beloved, the Holy Ghost can save your children in giving them life, so they come to faith and belief in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. We've got to quit. I mean, I believe we should teach our children, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But at the same time, we should be depending upon God to give them life to believe in the Son of God. I believe as the churches, we're seeing what Jesus is doing in the church. At the same time, the Lord told his church to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is our responsibility. Paul says one waters, but God gives the increase. Brother Ray can preach, I can preach, Jimmy preached, Sergey's preached, Brother Douglas preached in this assembly, others preached this weekend. But who will give the increase? God will give the increase. We got to trust that. Don't get discouraged when you don't see things happening. God has His time, and He moves in His time where He pleases, how He pleases, and when He pleases. It says the Holy Spirit moveth as He wills. You can't tell when He comes or where He's going, but you can see the effects of it. See the effects of it. So I pray that this message would encourage you. And this is the last verse. I'm going to read a couple more verses in close. Acts 15:7. And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how the good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. They heard the word of the gospel. Notice what he goes on to say. And believe. When the Spirit's moving and the Lord is controlled, you will hear the gospel and you will hear it. He said that it went to the Gentiles and he said, they will hear it, Brother Ray. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because God's the one who opens up the hearts. I pray a few of these things will be encouraging you as a church. All of us. Sometimes we do get discouraged and we think, well, boy, everything's gone down the dumps. There's nothing going on in the world. But God, who's sovereign over this world, is still working in His congregation for His honor and for His glory. And one day He said, come thou into the joy of the Lord, my good and faithful servant. What is our responsibility? Let's be faithful. May we pray. Our gracious Father, I'm so grateful that the Lord Jesus is the head of His church, congregation, and that He is adding to the church. He is building the church. He's the one who disciplines the churches. As it speaks about in the book of Revelation, we have to give an account to Him. And He does chasten His churches and the pastors when they don't do His will, because He's over the church of the living God. May you bless Brother Ray and this congregation here to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. And may their hope and faith be in the Lord of glory, realizing He is over the church of Olenin to control it, to add to it, and to build it up by His power through the Holy Spirit. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Ray.
Thank you, Brother Leroy. We have really been blessed yesterday and today and the messages that God has sent to us. Now, we've got two more preachers here today that we haven't heard from today. And I'll ask you, Brother Jimmy or Brother Jim, do y'all have anything on your mind that you'd like to say to us that God put on your heart?
Praise the Lord.
While Brother Leroy was speaking, and he was talking about, this is something that at some point in time I wanted to talk to the church about, and I think this, the Lord, I believe, impressed upon me that I didn't intend to do this today, but I want to share this with you. What he mentioned, one thing, what brought this to my mind, it's when you mentioned that you talked to Brother Chuck, and perhaps he and Brother James are going to help him. And I know there's some Brother Stephen Boyd that involved in possibly a church being brought together out in Albuquerque. I know that would be a great blessing to Brother Chuck and his family. But it'd be a blessing to us, because I think in a way that we would have a part in that ministry. Amen. Brother Chuck being a member here. And But I want to tell you about another situation. I've spoken to one or two of you maybe about this, but I haven't spoken to many. You know, the technology that we have today, it can be a curse, but it can also be a blessing. Through Facebook, I don't really spend a whole lot of time on Facebook, but I'm on Facebook, and I have had a lot of people that I don't even know and probably will never see that have asked to be friends of mine on Facebook. I've friended a lot of them, and some of them, after I friended them, I wasn't very long, I realized I didn't need to be friends with them, and I removed them as my friend. But I had a man that contacted me about 6 weeks ago, a man in Africa. His name is Dismark. He told me, he said, I have read what he called on my page, the Facebook page, and he said, I'm very interested in what you believe. And he said, I'm very interested in maybe becoming a Primitive Baptist. Well, I didn't get too excited about that at first, because I've had that happen quite a bit. And usually what those people want, you don't get very far, and they're wanting money from you. Well, I answered him, and they usually try to answer those people, and I answered him, and I told him that be glad to talk to him about some of these things that we believe and share some truths with him. But I said, if you're coming looking to me for money, or if you're looking for money, I said, you better go somewhere else, because I don't have any. And he said, no, I'm not asking for money. And so as I communicated with him, I found out a little bit more about him. He was raised a Roman Catholic. And he said that he had to walk 60 miles to go to church, the closest one to him. And he said, I really began to pray that God would give me something closer. And he said, my wife encouraged me, and so I started just having a Bible study in my home. He said, as we started the Bible study and my parents joined me, a few other people, and he said, I began to see a lot of the things that was wrong with the Catholic Church. And he said, we've got a small group now that are meeting, I think probably about 20, 25 people all together that are meeting. But he said, we've been looking. We know that we don't want to, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, he realized the Catholic Church is wrong, but he was looking for the truth. He wanted to be identified with God's people. He wanted to be identified with the truth. And he said, I like what I see about you. So I shared some other things with him. I sent him a copy of our Articles of Faith. I sent him a copy of Brother Zach's book on the undeniable doctrines of the Primitive Baptist. I sent him a copy of the London Confession of Faith, emailed those things to him, and he's very excited about that. And he said, I wish you could come over here and baptize us. Well, I told him, I said, well, I'm an old man, and I don't have any money. I said, that'd be very difficult for me to do. But I said, I do understand, and this was from Brother Nathan Pitney, that there are some Primitive Baptist churches in Africa. He said, can you put me in contact with them? So I talked to Brother Nathan about this, and Brother Nathan has been, I guess you'd say, burned a few times by people that would claim that they wanted the truth, but they come to find out they didn't. And that's very discouraging. And But I'll just say this, and I told this to Brother Nathan. I said, you know, that's nothing new. You read in the scriptures, you read Paul's writing. Paul was burned a few times by false brethren. And that's something that happens. But anyway, Brother Nathan told me, he said, would you give me his email address and let me contact these, tell some of these brethren. He said, they'll know. He said, they'll contact him. It won't take them long to figure out whether he's really legitimate or not. And so they made contact with this brother. He usually messages me every day, Brother Bismarck does, just to know how I'm doing. You stay in contact. He told me, he said, well, I'm waiting here last week. I'm waiting. I had contact with these brethren. I'm waiting to hear something else. And here's what the plan is, that Brother Nathan has put him in contact with these brethren, and some of these men are going to go to where Brother Bismarck is. They live about 3 hours away, and they're going to meet with him and meet with his congregation.
Amen.
And then invite them to come and meet with the church there where they are. Now, this may all turn out to be nothing. We don't know. But Brother Nathan told me, he said those brethren over there are encouraged about this. That's something we're doing as a church at Old Lenin, that we can be involved.
Amen.
And it's not, I want to emphasize this. We talk about work in foreign countries. We've got work going on in India and the Philippines and in Russia. And those things are exciting to me. But whether the work is going on in foreign lands or whether it's going on down the road from where we live, it doesn't matter. It's God's work. And we ought to be rejoicing if God can use us in spreading the gospel and encouraging his people.
Amen.
But I know we've got some preachers here. How excited would you be if someone contacted you and said, I want to be a Primitive Baptist? Brother Jimmy Barber, almost 50 years ago, there was a young fellow went to him and told him he was interested in being a Primitive Baptist. You remember that, Brother Jimmy? That was me. I went to Brother Jimmy. I didn't know any Primitive Baptist. I knew the doctrine, something about the doctrine that they believed, and I felt like that was where the Lord's church was, and I wanted to find out about it.
Amen.
So I just want to pass that on to you and encourage you. We've heard a lot today about the church.
Amen.
And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a privilege it is to be a member of the Lord's church. And you may, and we all do at times, take it for granted that, hey, yeah, I'm a member of the church. I can go to that church. What if you didn't have a church to go to? What if you were like Brother Sergey in a land and in a place where they didn't have a church? What a privilege it is to be a member of the Lord's church.
Amen.
And I pray that in the 50th anniversary of the founding of the constitution of this church, that we'll go forward today. And from this day forward, as we've been exhorted and encouraged to do.
Amen.
And pray that God will use us. And if God uses us wherever, now, as I said, it's not any more important to me whether God uses us in this community or whether God uses us halfway around the world. If God can use us,
amen,
to spread the gospel and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ,
amen,
that people will have a place where the gospel is preached, where they can come and hear that God Well, I just think of the scripture. Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If we, in a place where God's people, who are sinners, we're all sinners, but where they can come and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thank the Lord for this time. I thank the Lord for this milestone that this He's brought us to here, 50 years.
Already, the old Baptists in West Tennessee already have a connection to Africa. From Paul Blair, outside of Lexington, has been to Africa several times in the past year. And recently there was a storm in Africa that destroyed a church building. And he sent word out to the brethren in that area up there to Philomath and Penny, the Rocky Springs Church. And that was announced at Rocky Springs about a month ago. To see it, you know, the funds being raised to help get that church rebuilt and was without any trouble. And so, if you want to contact me at all about that, particularly about what you know about.
Okay.
That's been going on for several years. And also, you know that in the 9th of July, Brother Zach is going to go over to the Trinity.
Right.
Lots of people around the world are hungry and thirsty for the truth. I read that he's raising up people to go and be with those who are hungry and thirsty.
Amen.
I encourage you to talk about it. Lots of people here in the morning.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, it's exciting. We in many ways, we live in exciting times. I think it was probably about 30 years ago was the first time that I know of that any Primitive Baptist went outside of this country to preach the gospel. I think the first that I know of was in the Philippines. Since that time, the Lord has worked in many ways. I think in Brother in India, in a little over 20 years, I think they've got something like 40 churches. The work has not grown that fast in Russia, but we have 4 churches in Russia and other parts of the world. It's wonderful what God is doing. We ought to be excited about that.
Amen.
And thankful. Listen, like I said, how would you feel today if you were in a place and you knew the Lord Jesus Christ? And you wanted to assemble with the Lord's people, but you didn't have a church. We shouldn't take it for granted. We ought to be thankful that we have a church that we can go to and pray and help that God, wherever we can, that God's people will have a church to attend.